Thank you for listening to a recorded worship service of Gaiman Mennonite Church. Our church is located just outside Adamstown, Pennsylvania. We hope this service points you to Jesus, and we invite you to come worship the Lord with us. Gaiman Mennonite Church.
Enjoy the service.
And welcome to our service this morning. Could you take your song folders, please, and turn to number 3? Number
Would the ushers come forward for the offering? I thought this morning we could just read over our theme verse for the month. So if you have your bulletin, or if you want to open up in your Bibles to Romans 8:15. Let's read together. For you did not receive the spirit of bondage again to fear, but you receive the spirit of adoption by whom we cry out, Abba, Father. Let's pray. Heavenly Father, we just want to thank you this morning that we are free, that we are no longer slaves to sin, but that you have set us free by the sacrifice that you made for us. We just pray that we can be just vessels for you to use in any way possible, that we would be open and willing to your leading and your calling, Lord God. We pray that this morning, especially with our
monetary gifts that we can give, that you would use them in whatever way you see fit, Lord, to bring honor and glory to your name and to your kingdom. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen. Thank you.
There is a children's church today. If you're involved in that, you're welcome to be dismissed. Good morning, everyone. Welcome to our service today. Looks like the weather might be breaking out there, and we'll see what all that holds. But thank God for rain. I know it's been really dry. I'm going to be talking about no longer slaves to sin. And I've not been a slave, at least in the way that history leads us to think about. And most of us are Caucasian. This is a thought that we don't even have to think about in our history much. But we're going to try to identify a little bit with this idea of being slaves. Let's pray together. Father, thank you for your love for us. Thank you for bringing us here today. I thank you, Jesus, that you died on the cross for us. You rose again, and because of that, you offer us forgiveness from our sin and new life here on this earth, and even more importantly, eternal life that will last forever and ever with you. Please guide this time, God, each of our minds as we think about what's being said and all the thoughts that go through our minds. And with my words, what I say, please use it all for your honor and glory. In Jesus' name, amen. The Bible talks a lot about us as slaves. And a Bible, I'm not exactly sure what a slave was like in Bible times. I think it had some differences to what our understanding of slavery is in America. This also led my thinking to some things recently about kind of modern day slavery and human trafficking. And I did a little research on that, and I found two stories that were kind of interesting. One was a stewardess on an airline who, walking back the aisle, she recognized that a young lady seemed to be in distress, and she was with an older man who was very well-dressed. She was not well-dressed at all. She looked distressed, and just something about that situation told the stewardess something's not right. She talked to some of the other stewardesses. Anytime she offered anything, snack or whatever, to this person, they didn't speak, and only the man made eye contact. And she just felt like something was wrong here, and I think she actually said she prayed and asked that God would help her to know what to do. And she ended up leaving a note in the bathroom, and there were two bathrooms, and she locked the door to the one bathroom with this note, and the note was, "Do you need help?" I think. And then she prayed for an opportunity to talk to this young lady, and she had the other stewardess distract the man, and while he was distracted, she made eye contact with this lady and just mouthed the words "bathroom," and the young girl went back to the bathroom and saw the note and responded that, "Yes, please help me." And she was able to tell the pilot, and the authorities met the plane when it landed, and she was saved from that situation. One other one was kind of interesting, where there were two teenage girls, I believe in California. Also, they were checking onto a flight, and the airline person noticed that their tickets were not in their names. They were in some other person's name, and the credit card that was used was flagged for fraudulent use or something like that. And so she asked the girls if they knew who bought the tickets, and they told the story that someone from New York had offered them tickets to come be models. They would take pictures, and they were going to be paid $2,000 for these pictures and then come back. And she said, "You know that your tickets are one-way tickets." And so she didn't, she wasn't sure what was going to happen there, but she was assuming it was not good, and so they didn't accept the whatever. I'm not sure, but they stopped that. So it's interesting to me that those are kind of stories of potential or actual modern-day human trafficking. Can you think back to a time in your life, and this is, we're kind of living through this in our season of life, when you wanted freedom of some sort? I can remember, I think, when I was first allowed to ride my bike by myself and go fishing with my friend, that my mom or dad didn't have to go along, and I could ride my bike, and I was free. And then you get your driver's license, and there's this element of freedom. I can go somewhere, and my mom or dad doesn't have to be sitting in the passenger seat right beside me. I still have to ask for the keys. And then you actually get your own vehicle, and you have this greater degree of freedom, where you get to choose where to go and when to go and who with and things like that. And think back to those times, what it meant to long for freedom. What is a slave? A slave is owned by another person. They are treated as property. They are forced, I use that word because I guess in some reality we all have, or no one can force us to do anything. They could, I guess, maybe we choose that over death or something like that, but they're forced to obey. A master has some level of power over that person or some rights that the slave doesn't have. But you're not free. Do you remember wanting freedom? Now, some of the situations I was talking about with wanting freedom as a child and as a young person then, that wasn't necessarily bad. Those were good guidelines that I didn't have all that freedom until I was ready to have it. Some masters are good. Sin is not that good master. Sin originates with Satan. The Bible tells us Satan came to steal, kill, and destroy. That's his goal for us, is to steal, kill, and destroy. And anything sinful originates with him. So that's his goal, is this bondage, chains, and eventually to die in that. There are six pictures. If you're a doodler, a person who likes to doodle, to draw, that was the purpose of the half sheet in your bulletin program. So So I've got 6 doodle graphs from Phil that if you want to, you can replicate these. So the first of these 6 is with that idea, that sin is originated by Satan and it leads to bondage and it leads to death. The more we say yes to it, the more we're controlled by it. So it starts off, you know, with a chain that looks good and it looks like it would be nice to wear. And there's joy in that. Maybe it even, you know, you feel cool. And then the chains, you know, gradually get heavier and harder to break until it's something that you can't get out of yourself. So chains move from small chains to big chains. Sin leads to death. And maybe I didn't say this in the beginning, but this is all basically coming from Romans 6. And Romans 6, if you want to have that open, you're welcome to. I'll read some of it. It repeats a lot of the same ideas in several different ways, several different times. And I'm trying to summarize those ideas. Romans 6, one of the main ideas is that sin, it leads to death, leads to bondage. The next image, I'll get to explaining it, but it's supposed to be a mouth with teeth, and the teeth actually are dirty. and I'll get to that story in just a minute. But the multiple times in the Bible tells us that we were slaves to sin. I said I've never, you know, been a slave, but in reality I have. The Bible tells me I've been a slave to sin. And it says you've been a slave to sin. Romans 6:17, you were once slaves of sin. Romans 6:19, you once presented your members as slaves to impurity. Romans 6:20, when you were slaves to sin. Titus 3:3, for we ourselves were once foolish, disobedient, led astray, slaves to various passions and pleasures. Galatians 4:9, how is it then that you are turning back to those weak and miserable forces? Do you wish to be enslaved by them all over again? John 8:34, Jesus replied, truly, truly, I tell you again, everyone who sins is a slave to sin. So the truth is that we've all been slaves to sin. This is true in both a general sense, that we're all sinners, and it's true in a specific sense. There's specific sin that each of us have struggled with. And the Bible says, you know, if you've sinned at one thing, you're guilty of the whole law. But each of us have particular specific sins that we've been, that we were slaves to. And as we'll see, those things are still things that we need to make choices about. It doesn't just go away if we choose to believe in Christ. Is it necessary to spell out what our specific sins are? Perhaps not, but I think it's important that we do understand and agree with God when He tells us repeatedly that we were slaves to sin. If we don't believe Him, we're like the story of the, and I've never tried this, but, and there's some debate about this, whether it actually, they would do it or not, I don't know, but about the story of the example of the frogs that you put in hot water or lukewarm water, and you gradually turn the heat up little by little by little by little, and they sit there until the water is so hot that the frog actually dies. We don't immediately always recognize our sin. So the picture, the mouth. In elementary school, there was a, maybe you had this, I don't know if they still do this. This was, you know, back in the dark ages, but they bring around some dental hygienist person or somebody with a, and they give you all a toothbrush and a little cup of water, and you brush your teeth, and give you some toothpaste, or brush your teeth, and then they give you little tablets of, in our case it was like a red powdery tablet, and you kind of chew it up, and the powdery stuff only stuck to the parts you missed. Basically, like the plaque or whatever that you missed while you were brushing. So everybody's mouth pretty much looked like that with the dirty parts near our gums or whatever. It's supposed to encourage you to, you know, really be vigorous about your brushing, get all the way around. So their mouths, you know, our mouths were evidence that we were failing at the toothbrushing job and we didn't know it. And sin can be like that, right? We think we're okay, but we might not know it. And that's part of the job of the Holy Spirit. So pray, Lord God, may I be receptive to Your Spirit's prompting in my life, that when I sense conviction, when I sense like, okay, maybe what I'm doing is wrong, that I wouldn't reject that I wouldn't harden my heart, that when the Holy Spirit's speaking to me, I would respond and say, okay, yes, that I shouldn't be doing that. Help me to stop. He will do that for us as believers. The Bible tells us He will do that. But we have to choose not to reject that. And to, you know, when we see the dirty teeth, that we do something about it. Did you ever think what other people might be praying for about you? Did you ever think what other people might be praying about for you? You know, Lord, I pray that Phil would wake up and see this about himself, you know? We in our circles, our community, we're slow to, and rightfully so, I think, you know, we're hesitant to point things out about people and to say, yeah, you really had to work on this. Now, sometimes as parents, that's our job and we have to do that, but we're slow to say to a friend, you know, I think you're going down the wrong path in this way. Maybe if you have a really good relationship, that happens, but we're slow to do that. But think about what might someone else be praying about you? You know, I hope this person recognizes this is not a good choice. Something to consider. Okay, what's our next picture? All right, this one I want to read. Romans 6, verses 5 and 6. If we have been united with Him like this in His death, we will certainly also be united with Him in His resurrection. For we know that our old self was crucified with Him so that the body of sin might be done away with, that we should no longer be slaves to sin. And I'll read 7. Because anyone who has died has been freed from sin. Specifically thinking about verse 6 there, our old self was crucified with sin, with Him, so that the body of sin might be done away with. That image stood out to me as I was preparing. Think about your old self. So if you've chosen to say, I believe in Jesus, and if you haven't done that this morning, just invite you to consider that as we are reading about what it's like to be. We are all slaves to sin, but we're getting to the place where talking about how Jesus can free us from that. He says, okay, if you've If you're a believer in me, earlier it uses the word, if you've been baptized, if your sin was buried with Him, it's nailed to the cross with Him. Think of your sinful self up on that cross. Jesus is nailed there, and so is your sinful self gets nailed to the cross. And it says, so that the body of sin might be done away with. It got buried. It got rid of. Your path, that leading to death, that sentence of death is gone because of what Jesus did. So my sinful self is nailed to the cross. Praise God. Next image. And we will also live with Him. We died with Christ, so we believe that we will also live with Him. So Jesus died, was buried in the tomb, and rose again. In the same way, we as believers, we, our sinful selves, died with Him, and then as we follow Him, we experience life, a new life. There's a song that I hear on Christian radio now. I think the chorus says something like, He called me by name and I ran out of that grave. He called me by my name and I ran out of that grave. Kind of harkening back to the story, the account of, help me out, who was raised? Lazarus was raised from the dead. Called his name, Lazarus, come out. You know, and think of your name being called. Jesus called you, invites you. He has invited us. And if you've responded to Him, run out of that grave. Run away from the sin of your past and run towards new life. So that's what the little dots are around, you know. He's new life. Okay, two more. Romans 6:16 says, don't you know that when you give yourselves to obey someone, you become that person's slave? If you are slaves to sin, then you will die. But if you are slaves who obey God, then you will live a godly life. So now it's kind of changing. It continues to use this illustration of slaves, but now you've been a slave person, or I'm sorry, you've been a freed person, a saved person. And he's still using that imagery of a slave, but now you're choosing your master. And you're choosing, the end of what I read says, but if you are slaves who obey God, then you will live a godly life. So this is kind of trying to represent a choice, that we all make choices. So even after we're saved, we're free from sin, this chain, this is broken, He died for us, our sinful selves are nailed to the cross, we still need to make choices about our lives. And that sin that we struggled with is probably still there. We have His power to overcome it now, but we still have a choice in the matter. And we have to choose, and the arrow is making actions, doing something about it. We are slaves to something. Who do we obey? Who is our master? It says it again, similarly, in 2 Peter 2:19. For by whom a person is overcome, by him also he is brought into bondage. That same verse in the NIRV says, people are slaves to anything that controls them. So in one sense, we are still slaves, but now we're slaves to what we choose. Choose the master who loves you. Choose the master who loves you. Satan's purpose for us is to steal, kill, and destroy. Choose the Master who loves you. So when I'm making choices about my life and I choose this particular action or this attitude towards someone, don't just make the decision on what other people are doing or what might feel good. Think about who is my Master and making a specific choice that obeys that Master and goes along with what He wants and honors Him. Actions chosen out of a desire to obey God and to honor Christ. The last one is at the end of Romans 6, it talks about fruit or the results or the wages. So it says basically the wages are either death, the fruit is either what you're ashamed of, what you're in bondage to, death. So those are supposed to be chains on the left, or life. Or you're choosing a fruit that leads to holy living, holiness in your life, and eternal life. So if I were to try to sum it all up, which I guess I'm doing, basically that Romans 6 is, to me, is saying, okay, and he's speaking to people who are believers. So if you are saying that you believe in Jesus, then He's died for your sins ultimately, but you still have to make a choice. You still have to choose your actions. So instead of just choosing what you want, try to be deliberate about your choices and how you live and how you speak and your attitudes, and try to choose in a way that's going to result in fruit that honors God. Out of a desire to obey God and honor Christ, and trusting in His love. So even if I don't understand this guideline in the Bible, God, I'm going to choose to obey this because I believe You're my Master who loves me. You're not the Master who wants death for me. You're the Master who wants goodness, good things for me. So I'm going to choose to try to match my life up to what You say in the Bible. I'm choosing this action, this behavior, this attitude, because I'm trusting my good Master. May we make choices like that in our lives. Please pray with me. God, thank you that we are no longer slaves to fear, and I kind of broadened that because fear is one sin that we deal with, and maybe it's a root sin of a lot of others, but we have been slaves to sin, all of us. And if we've accepted Christ and desire to be His follower, then Your Word says that You have ultimately made us free of that. You've broken those chains and we're no longer slaves. But You also tell us we need to continue to make choices in our lives to choose right living and to choose actions and attitudes. And those choices that we make, even after we say are saved, are going to have a fruit, a result, a wage, one way or the other. And I pray, God, that You would help us to make choices in our lives that reflect our love for You, our good Master. In Jesus' name, amen.
Would you take your Mennonite hymnal and turn to number 554, please? 554. Would you stand, please?
Song. It's our opportunity to share requests or praises or things to share with the group. One announcement I did not get in the bulletin. Next week is our Sunday that we have our service at Woodcrest Retreat. That service is at 10 o'clock. I'll try to get an email out to remind of that, but here's your verbal reminder. Next Sunday is at Woodcrest Retreat. Service at 10. What things would you like to share? And yes, thank you. And it's a regular fellowship meal. Thank you for that reminder. That was part of my bulletin announcement that didn't make it. Yes, regular fellowship meal. If you're able to bring a hot and cold dish, that would be greatly appreciated.
This is Donna. I'm just asking for prayer for the Sipe family. I work with Ethan's aunt. He is the one who was involved in the jet ski accident, and he is still in an induced coma. His twin brother is the one who hit him, so they're dealing with a lot of guilt and pain there. So if you could remember that whole Sipe family.
Several weeks ago, I had asked for prayer for Dwayne and Becky Stauffer's son and daughter-in-law. Tim has relocated to the Army base in Alaska without Allie. She was cleared this week, though, to fly, and she walked for the first time in 6 weeks without her crutches. She is leaving, I think, tomorrow. I'm not 100% sure, so just pray for her. And she's facing 20-plus hours of flight with a three-year-old having just started walking again, and a flight change in Washington. So just remember her in prayer. And a praise, maybe a little confession. The rain is a little distracting after praying for so long for rain. I just want to thank God for rain.
I'd like to recognize Warren. Yesterday was his big 9-0.
Happy birthday, Warren. Okay, I'll invite you to stand together for prayer. Father, thank you for your great love for us. We come before you and ask, we pray for the Sipe family and this jet ski accident. We pray for their family, God, that you'd encourage them, strengthen them where there is guilt or pain. I pray, God, that you would be near to them and help them to experience your love. We pray against any just lies of the enemy as family members, just things that they say to themselves or even to one another, God, that you would protect them and protect their relationships with one another. I pray that you would give them strength and comfort during this very difficult time. We pray for the mom that Michelle mentioned as she is journeying this long flight with a foot, leg that's not well, and a young one with her. I pray that you would help that journey to go well and that she could be reunited with her husband and that all that traveling would go well. And God, we're grateful. We just assume that food and things are always there and water is always there and we're so blessed. But we want to acknowledge that it all comes from you. All good things come from you, Father. And we're thankful that you've provided rain in our region and in our area to provide water to drink, to provide water for the crops and plants to grow. Thank you, Lord. We celebrate and thank you for Warren. Thank you for his life. Thank you for his commitment to you. Thank you for bringing him into our midst. And I pray that you would bless him, dear Father. And as we go, God, we're grateful that you have freed us from the bondage of sin. I pray that as we have opportunity in our lives to choose who our master will be, that we would choose you and your ways, our loving Father. In Jesus' name, amen. Go in peace.